you're a retired police officer, deputy chief.
How would they know this stuff?
Yeah, well, you know, just kind of got that copy. But he really understands this, so. I'd be happy to take any questions on the system or the company. Yes, we.
Mike said there's a sensor in the pavement.
Yes.
And when you're doing an intersection, how much work is it to put that sensor in? You have to tear up the whole intersection?
No, it's not really hard at all. We've been, in very simplistic terms, we work with the city's engineering department. We do the labor, but we just core a hole. These sensors are metal detectors, basically, and they were they're just cored and put in about 3 inches below the pavement, and then it's filled with the resin, so they can be done in an hour.
Okay. And how? And then with the cameras, I suppose you have to assess whether you want the cameras on all aspects of that intersection.
Yes.
How easy is it to move that operation to another intersection?
It's very, very simple. And not to gloat a little bit, but our technology is state-of-the-art. We've just rolled this out 18 months. We've been in business in the United States for 8 years. Well, we have state-of-the-art technology now. So the cameras are very important. And all it takes is a simple metalwork on the side, an interface with the red light timing of that intersection. We use what timing is there. Put the cores in, and it's up and ready to go. Back to the four intersections. I know that the city was approved by the legislature, I think, for 20 intersections, if I'm not mistaken. We've never had, in all the clients we have, we've never had an intersection that has cameras on every approach, meaning four approaches. What we'll do is work with the city, and that's what Mike talked about, interfacing and transparency. This is not our program. This is going to be the city of Albany's program. Who knows better your intersections than the police department and all of you? So we'll work in tandem with them to identify the most dangerous intersections. And then we'll go out and do a traffic study. We actually mount a temporary camera for a period of time to try to catch both rush hours to see what the volume is, see what the activity is, the potential for crashes are, and then we will, in conjunction again with the city, select those intersections. But I don't think we ever might install four cameras at one intersection. Usually one approach or two approaches is maximum.
We have huge intersections, 12 lanes wide, 6 lanes each way.
Yeah.
And one camera for north-south, one camera for east-west.
So the video and pictures are available.
Yes.
Let's say somebody goes to Cali
at
an intersection. That video, like, for example, available, like
if they want to. Yeah, well, let me explain to you about the adjudication pattern. All the information that we capture is the city's information. Our equipment is the only equipment that has what we call side-ops. So it's a 24/7. In addition to catching red light violations, the police can actually monitor that intersection 24/7 with live streaming video. Now, the request can't come from us because we're the vendor,
right.
But the request goes to the police department. The police department then can turn over with a FOIA that information. So you don't get into the he said, she said at the accident. We've had multiple requests for that information. But now with our new technology, the police department can do it themselves because they will be able and have the capability on their smartphones. I'm not an IT guy. But this is amazing stuff. We actually can put the police department with their smartphones on 24/7 surveillance of that intersection.
I just have a follow-up question about that because I had asked one of our local city council people that same question because my house is burglarized and I know the perpetrator has had to cross through one of the four intersections around my house.
Right.
And this is the time when, you know, there was heightened conversation about this, and I had asked, would this potentially be beneficial to other crime, but when it doesn't directly relate to a traffic infraction to set off your alarm, your sensor. So you're saying there's 24-hour surveillance, APD can pull that.
In addition to the red light enforcement.
Correct.
The camera also sends streaming video back to the police department 24/7. Now, in the instances, it's not going to catch everything, obviously.
Right.
But in the instances of an Amber Alert, for example.
With my bag.
Right, yeah.
You know, that's what I was looking for.
And the answer is yes.
Yeah, okay, all right. How long does that take for?
14 days. They can scroll backwards from the camera, and they can view what's happened. So if
right.
you come to them as a victim and say, hey, this guy just mugged me,
right.
and it's near a camera,
right.
they're very well be able to get evidence off of that.
You have a description of the car. Or... So it's a tool. It's a help.
Yeah, no, that's
a help.
That's,
I think.
Yes, sir.
Have you collected any data from communities where these have been put in place for a while on what the impact is on car insurance rates? Do car insurance rates go down because of this?
I don't have any hard data on that.
The insurance companies do support. They are out there, and they are publicly supporting communities and providing them with material for marketing. So that would tell me that they're on. If they get discounts or not, I don't know. But they're very much involved in court.
Yes, sir.
So I'd just like to address some of the issues that have come up in your industry in general with
sure.
some of your fellow vendors, just because I'm not sure if my fellow residents are aware
no,
of them.
Please do.
And then if you could maybe address some of them. There have been a number of cases in other municipalities or other vendors where these companies have manipulated the local government, manipulated the traffic management in order to increase their profits. Usually it's under a scenario where they take a cut of every ticket. That's been very popular in a lot of other municipalities
yes,
that I've seen.
In Chicago.
And what it's amounted to is when they've, you know, when driver habits do change, some of these vendors have come back and kind of put pressure to lower yellow light times in order to keep the profitability of the cameras up. You know, my understanding is there's an option for a flat charge for these cameras, and I think that that's urgent that we as a community go for, if we're going to go for these cameras, we have to go for that option. I mean, this is very recent stuff in terms of scandals in Chicago and in other municipalities where there was flat-out bribery and another vendor was paying for a city official's apartment, things like that. A former executive from another vendor said that that at least in their operations, bribery was standard. So, you know, I'm hearing what I want to hear mostly in terms of these questions. You know, there's also been issues with influencing voter referendums in some communities where voters wanted to make the decision. You know, we're past that point, but I'm just painting a picture of, you know, that they're one way or another, we're bringing, you know, a third party or a special interest into our community in a long term, and we want to make sure that there's proper boundaries set. And there's so many precedents for where those boundaries were crossed. And in addition to that, I also wanted to comment on some major communities that have deployed these and now are retracting them, including LA, DC. And I'm surprised you used New Jersey as an example, because New Jersey just yanked red light cameras in a number of municipalities. So that's all I have to say.
As well. Well, let me try to address some of those. First and foremost, let me tell you that you probably haven't heard of my company before, because we haven't been involved in any of this thing. We have never been alleged of any improprieties. We have never had any lawsuits brought against our company. As a matter of fact, we have turned municipalities down that insisted on running, letting the vendor run the program, and because of the kind of fee structure they wanted. I can tell you, I can't speak too much about the RFP because it's in Albany's hands right now, but our fee structure is a flat fee. to not get involved in exactly what you're talking about. There is no incentive for me in a flat fee for all the services I provide, including the equipment. There would be no incentive on a flat fee to increase violations or push through violations. The city of Albany, if we're selected, if Red State is selected, is paying for the equipment and the services that are rendered. The program is the city of Albany's. If there are more violations, they will get the revenue stream from the violations. We will get a flat, fixed rate. Now, I'm not here to talk about other vendors, but, you know, there's bad players when you're doing governmental procurement work, and I happen to live in the suburbs of the city, and I'm acutely aware of that. We did not bid on the city work because I didn't think it was right at the time.
Me, Chicago?
Yes.
Yes.
I knew what they were doing in the sense of charging per paid violations. I think it's illegal, and if it's not illegal, it's immoral. You shouldn't do that. The vendor shouldn't profit because they control how many violations go through. With our program, it's up to the city of Albany. A law enforcement officer has the final determination on whether that violation is a violation or not. And they can either accept that, and then we follow up and do the paperwork, or as Mike said, reject it. And if it's rejected, it's dropped. We aren't the judge and jury of that. There are a lot of vendors that are. They take that responsibility from the city, and they become the judge and jury on issuing the violations. Why? Because it enhances their profitability. We don't. We charge a flat fee. And that'll be evidenced when our RFP is released to the public. So, a lot of good points. There are bad players, but there's bad players in everything. But I can assure you that we have walked away when we suspected they weren't going to do it the right way. We've never been alleged, never had a lawsuit. And look, at the end of the day, I always say, and then I'll go on to another question, but this really infuriates me because it makes my job as a representative of a company even that much more difficult to even field questions like that. We're all painted in with the same brush. But I can tell you, I think the reason I represent this company is I think Red Speed does the best job at photo enforcement, both speed and red light, that there is out to be had of all the vendors. And at the end of the day, if the city of Albany doesn't select Red Speed, you know, which I would be disappointed, but if they don't in their pristine wisdom, then I strongly urge you to support the program because the program works. And I really, really believe it. And as I said earlier in my initial comments, it is an extension of the policing tool and free up those cops to go do and deal with more serious issues in the community instead of being traffic control cops. So I hope I answered your question. I didn't mean to belabor the answer, but I'm very proud of Red Speed and the way we've conducted ourselves, and I hope we have an opportunity to serve the citizens of Albany.
Yeah, I just want people to make sure that we're making an informed decision.
Yes, and that's why we're here. And as I said, it's a tutorial. A lot of people don't, you know, FDR said years and years ago, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. There's a lot of misnomers about the program because it's relatively new, certainly new to the city of Albany. And so you should ask these questions, and you should know how it works. But rest assured that we partner. I don't want to come here from Illinois and think that I know better than the residents or the officials in the city of Albany. This will be a partnership, and the goal is to have the community embrace it and have it successful and change driver behavior.
Enough. I can make one more point to what you had mentioned there. You know, when you talked about a stranger coming into your community, I totally get that, and that's why we're here. You know, we don't have any idea if Albany is going to select our company or not. But we are already investing in Albany by coming here. Because if you pick us or not, you all have to get from the ground floor before the politicians make the vote. Everybody needs to understand what's right, what's true, what's not. And so we found that communities that we come to and we do this with, they have a better understanding. And if you make an educated vote, you're probably going to make a more sound vote. And so to prove that we're not really, we won't be strangers for long if we're the selected. To prove that we're here and it's not costing Albany a penny, we're coming here to try to get you folks to understand photo enforcement before you even select a vendor. That's how committed we are to becoming a part of this community. So
And like I said, if Redskins not selected, at least hopefully we've helped to educate and have you understand what you should expect from a red light vendor. Yes, sir.
You said several times you don't want to discuss the RFP, but what kind of contract would you be looking for with the city? How long would it be? What kind of fees? What the range would be that you would be looking for?
Yeah, I can't address that because the RFP obviously has been, and I don't want to violate the trust or confidence of the city. It's the property of the city.
The RFP is public, right?
I'm sorry?
The RFP that was released is public, right?
Not unless the city of Albany releases it.
Not yet.
No, there was a disclaimer in the all RFPs are disclaimers until they have an opportunity to review it. I suppose
you responded confidentially, but the RFP has the city within spec.
I misunderstood. I'm sorry. The RFP asks for different funding, different pricing schedules.
Okay.
And I can tell you that we submitted a fixed flat fee. Per camera, per month.
Per month, not per year.
So go to Dan's question. So Dan asked how long. So did the city's RFP say we want to find a contract, or did they leave it up to the company to respond saying?
I don't remember what the term was in the RFP. And I really, because we weren't coming here to talk about the RFP, I didn't spend time to review it.
I can tell you that most, we have Annapolis, the city of Annapolis, their contract, and most of these are standard. It's a five-year contract with extensions. But our premise is a little different. We use a 60-day out clause for no cost. And it's very simple. The owners of the company go crazy when I request that. I don't want to be any place that doesn't want me. And so there's a clause. And I don't know if it was requested in the RFP for Albany, but it was in Annapolis, and we responded. But to your point, the gentleman's point earlier, we submitted a flat fee.
Real quick, I was just going to mention that the city did release the RFP publicly. It's
yes.
Online. And if anybody wants a quick link to it, you can grab me on the way out. I can
yeah,
email
public
you.
Information. So. Yes, sir.
Since the flat fee and payment obligations aren't met through any sort of percentage of tickets given, there would be no reduction to the duration of yellow lights throughout the city, right?
I'm not so sure I understand your question.
The city of Albany wouldn't face any yellow lights. The duration of yellow lights wouldn't be reduced since there would be no benefit from the company and supply.
No, that's pretty complicated, but let me give you a simple understanding. A city like the city of Chicago that does not adhere to the Illinois Department of Transportation's rules and guidelines, let me tell you how yellow light timing is formulated. There's a very complicated formula. And it has to do with speed. If you're on a road that's 45 miles an hour versus a road that's 25, obviously for 45, the yellow light timing has to be longer than the 25. And that's why there's not a standard yellow light timing. That is set by the Federal Highway Administration, MUFCA, I believe. That is passed down to all 50 states. All 50 states have adopted that scientific formula for their roadways. And because of that, because they adopted it, obviously the Fed said, okay, this is voluntary. You can adopt these guidelines. If you don't adopt these guidelines, you're going to jeopardize any federal highway money. So obviously the states have all adopted it. In the city of Chicago's case, they needed to adopt those as well. Now, I don't know personally or professionally what happened there. But I don't think they have the flexibility of adjusting those. I think the misnomer and the misconception is the speed calculation. It's very simplistically put, if you're on a roadway that's 40 miles an hour, that yellow light timing needs to be longer than it does if it's 25 miles an hour because of the speed of the vehicle. But that's all set by the feds.
Is there a leeway?
The states really don't have anything to do with
it. Is there a leeway in that formula? Is there a threshold?
Yeah, there's all different calculations depending on the speed. Again, my understanding is it's the speed of the road. And there are different timing configurations and formulas predicated on the speed of the roadway. You know, and engineers get involved in this, and it's a very, very complicated.
City of Albany has 4-second ambers. That won't change.
Okay.
Yeah, specifically.
That's
yeah. Right. Yeah, they have 4-second ambers throughout, and that won't change.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for counting on.
I appreciate it. Thanks. Thank you.